Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 through 14. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. This is the word of God. Please be seated. So as you know by now, this is our review from last week and the weeks before. As you know by now, Ephesians is written to the church at Ephesus in particular, but the church through all epochs of time. It's applicable to us today. The Ephesian church was immersed, if you remember, in compromised, corrupt society. There are all kinds of pagan worship, the worship of Artemis, the temple prostitutes, and all the things that went on in their culture, much like our culture today, kind of an analogous thing. It was written in less than optimal conditions because Paul was in prison. And he not only wrote this one in prison, but he also wrote Philemon's, Philippians, and Colossians while he was in prison. He was productive no matter where he was placed. Ministry didn't stop because he was placed in prison. He just kept on going. That's a message to us that we've talked about in the past. The section that we are in now, chapters 4 through 6, talk about living out your faith. Chapters 1 through 3 are doctrinal. Some of the greatest doctrinal teachings in the Scripture are found in Ephesians, talking about election, predestination, adoption, salvation by grace through faith alone, that sort of thing. We went through that thoroughly weeks ago. We're in the section now to how to really live out our faith, and that no matter the conditions that surround us, we are to live fulfilling our mission within the church, fulfilling our mission for Christ. But the body life that we experience, the most important thing that the Holy Spirit emphasizes to us, starting out in how to live this out, is unity within the body. Unity within the body. Satan is a great destroyer of unity. If you don't think that's true, there's umpteen churches that have been attacked. And there's all kinds of people that are fallout. And what happens is every time a church is attacked and there's a split, there's a segment that never goes back. That's the tragedy. Christian people that are wounded, cast off to the side. And folks, we started with unity in chapter 4, verse 3. Keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, why is unity essential? Folks, because united, we are strong. Divided, we are weak. Divided, we do not make impact. United, we impact the world. United, the church body is strong. Everyone, remember the emphasis, everyone doing their part within the body makes the body strong. We're all pitching in together. We're all in this together. It's not a king-serf situation. It's not, okay, pastor, you do everything and we do nothing. No, we all are in this together. This is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and each one of us has a role of equal importance. That's what we learned. That's what the Scripture has taught us. Every part has an important role. Everybody has a role to play. Now, truly, united we stand, divided we fall. Now, last week, the greatest evidence that you are an imitator of God, because that was a talk last week, being an imitator of God, or that you're in the family of God, is that we walk in love. Not talk love, walk in love. We made a big delineation between the two last time. Now, what did it look like? Well, walking in love had two characteristics that we went through last time. Number one was giving of ourselves to the cause of Christ and to others. It is not self-centered living. It is pouring yourself out. Pouring yourself out into the community. Pouring yourself out into ministry. Pouring yourself out for the Lord Jesus and for people. And also sacrifice, which is the cousin of giving of ourselves. Our lives for His glory and the glory of others. And then there was, we talked about, we want to be imitators of God, but also we want to fight against being imitators of the flesh. And the imitators of the flesh was described in verses 3 and 5 last week, chapter 5, verse 3 through 5. And it says this, but fornication and all cleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as fitting for the saints. Not even suggested, nobody can even throw an accusation at you. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather give thanks. And then he goes on to talk about the people who will not inherit the kingdom of God. Scary words. People who practice lifestyles that are not congruent with the spirit life. And then he gives the list. Paul's good for lists. He does the same thing in 1 Corinthians 6:9. No fornicator, unclean person, covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. And then he says, let no one deceive you with empty words. Now, are we being deceived today in a culture with empty words? You bet we are. There's deception is all over the place. Do not let anyone deceive you with empty words. How do we, now this is a question for you to kind of introspect with, thinking about last week. How do we as imitators of God deal with our flesh urges? Because we're always going to have them, folks. They're not going away. We're born again of the Spirit. We have tools now to overcome the flesh, but the flesh will not give up on you. And it will continue to tug and pull at you. And we learned weeks past in 4:22 that we are to put off the old man. And now that we're born again of the Spirit, we can, through the power of the Holy Spirit, live victoriously and put off the things that used to drag us back. And then we were told to put away in 4:25. And then he gave a list, lying, anger, stealing, corrupt speech. And the remedy, please hear this, this is new. So heads up, new stuff. The remedy for overcoming the flesh is flee. Just like Joseph fled from Potiphar's house. Flee the flesh. The remedy for overcoming the flesh is to flee. And you, Holy Spirit believer, can make a faith choice because the Spirit of God is resident within you to flee the desires of your flesh, to flee the pull of your flesh. And that's what we are to do. You can put it off. Put off your old man. Chuck Missler has this to say. This is a quote from him. He says, making a choice, this is talking about a faith choice, is making a choice to do God's will by God's authority regardless of how we feel is called a faith choice. He goes on to define this. It is a choice that is usually contrary to what we think and what we feel and what we want to do. It is a choice to do God's will regardless of our negative thoughts and emotions. Do you hear that? Focus on this because we live in a culture that reacts to feelings. I felt like doing this. I felt like I should. No, we don't act on our feelings. We don't act on them. In short, I will, through the power of the Holy Spirit in me, choose to flee the flesh. Remember in verse 7 last week, it says we are not to be partakers with any of those things in that awful list. Not to have fellowship with anything in that awful list. We are to obey God, and when we do that, we are making a faith choice. Now, you can do that. When you are wanting to act like old you, going back to your old ways of responding to a situation, you can say, no, I'm making a faith choice to do something different. That's what he's saying here. So this week our new man continues on his journey. Remember, the new man is the man that's born again in the Spirit. The new man is the one that's saved, the one that has received Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's the new man walking this thing out. And the Holy Spirit admonishes us in this section this week, I think you're going to see this, to wake up, change course. Folks, there's danger ahead. There's danger ahead for a slumbering church. Wake up. Now we'll start our teaching for today. Father, thank you for this time to study your word. Holy Spirit, do your work within each one of our hearts. Open our minds to your truth. Open our hearts. Soften us to allow us to receive your truth today. Please teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, verse 8 and 9. It's not easy to change course. I may not want to change course. But folks, it is wise to change course. Let's read the scripture. Verse 8 and 9. For you were once darkness. We all came from a kingdom of darkness. Everybody born into this world is born into the kingdom of darkness. All of us have Adam's imputed sin. I don't care how wonderful the little baby looks, and they look wonderful, don't they? But they're sinners. They have the imputed sin of Adam, of the whole human race. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Folks, you change course when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And because you've changed course, you walk as children of light. And an offshoot of that is, verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Folks, there's a character change that happens for people that are born again of the Spirit, that are walking in step with the Spirit. We are told to keep in step with the Spirit. Listen to this. When you're talking about changing course, Chuck Swindoll, in his treatise on Ephesians, writes this little story. He says, far off in the dark night, the ship's captain spotted faint lights. Right away, he ordered his signalmen to send this message. Alter your course 10 degrees south. Promptly, a return message was received. Alter your course 10 degrees north. The captain was angered. His command had been ignored. So he sent a second message. Alter your course 10 degrees south. I am the captain. Soon another message was received. Alter your course 10 degrees north. I am Seaman Third Class Jones. Feel the tension? Immediately the captain sent a third message, knowing the fear it would evoke. Alter your course 10 degrees south. I am a battleship. Then the reply came. Alter your course 10 degrees north. I am a lighthouse. The captain changed his mind, didn't he? He changed course. He changed course. You bet he changed course. His perspective changed. The light he first thought was a threat to his vessel was actually salvation. It was actually salvation, warning treacherous rocks ahead, and it pointed the crew to safety. That's what it did. God's cry to all humans is wake up, change course, there's danger ahead. That's what he's saying to us. Verse 8, he starts out with, but now you are light in the Lord. You are light in the Lord. You as Christ representatives have changed course. You're following the Lord Jesus Christ. When I say change course, you are not following the dictates of the world. You are not following your flesh. You're not following every whims that the enemy, every bit of bait that he drops out in front of you. You are not following that. You are following in a different kingdom. You're brought out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, and you are following, you made a course change following the Lord Jesus Christ. And as his representative, your cry towards the world is change course, danger ahead. That's our job. We represent him as light. Each one of you that have the Spirit of God within you are the light that is to be shining in our culture, shining in our homes. Now granted, that might get a little dim sometimes, but we are still light, displacing the darkness. And we are to give a heads up to the world, those folks living in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5 and 6, those people with fornication, covetous, that whole list of things, flesh people. We are to tell them, wake up, change course, there's danger ahead. That's our job. That's our job. He had a similar admonition, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. Let me just read you this. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. And he gives a similar list. This is a little more expanded. Neither fornicators. Remember, that's any sexual act that's outside of the marriage covenant. Any sexual act outside of the marriage covenant. Nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. He is emphatic on this. The Holy Spirit has repeated this several times through Paul's writings. He gives a list of the things that if you practice these things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. I don't care how much God talk you use. I don't care how much you are trying to act and pretend. If this is your lifestyle, Scripture says that you will not inherit the kingdom of God. So it's sobering, isn't it? It's sobering. But then there's a relief that comes. And thank God for the relief. Because he says in verse 11, and such were some of you. Such were some of you. That's the way we were, okay? But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. Folks, we all have a past. We all have some darkness that is in our past that we have been rescued from. And we are to tell other peoples that are in darkness, danger ahead, make a course change. Because the course that you're on is going to determine your destiny. It will determine your destiny. Such were some of you. Changing course, which changes a destiny, will require a faith choice. Now remember, we're saved by what? Grace through faith, not by works. And folks, this goes against your flesh. Change course, not live like we used to live. In John chapter 12, Jesus puts it this way. He says this in John 12, 46. I have come as a light into the world. Jesus is the light of the world, okay? That whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. That word abide is dwell in, remain in, stay in darkness. If you are in the light, you have no business living in the darkness. And actually, you want to question yourself if you are. In John 8, 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Remember what occurred at salvation. At salvation, we were all in the kingdom of darkness. We were all owned by Satan. Believe me, he owns everyone that is not born again of the Spirit. People don't know that. They're not running around saying, I'm owned by Satan. They don't even know it. They're just captured, and they're just captured in a lifestyle that is contrary to God. Those folks are ruled by their flesh, and they are flesh chasers, flesh cavers, darkness lovers. Now, when I say people love the darkness, there's a scripture for this. Men love darkness. John 3:19 says this. This is the condemnation that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. People want to stay in the darkness. They love the darkness. They love their sin. They have to get to the point where somebody hits bottom and says, I can't take this anymore. I need to come up to the light. I need to take a rescue breath. I'm at the bottom of the pool, drowning in my sin and misery. Take a leap up and take a rescue breath and see the light of the Lord Jesus Christ and save me. Now listen to this. You who heeded the Holy Spirit's warning to change course and change your destiny, now you are owned by God. You are owned by God, and you are in the kingdom of light, ruled by the Holy Spirit. And folks, listen to this. A different ruler mandates different conduct. Do you hear that? A different ruler mandates different conduct. I must not act like I used to act. I'm an obedient follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've changed course. But never forget, never ever forget, the flesh will not give up easily. Did anybody ever notice that? Anybody notice that little tension? I notice it. Pull, the tug, the drag back to the old you. How do you like old you when he comes out? It's old nasty you comes out. But now you can make a faith choice because you're in the family of God, and you can flee the flesh and you can stay on course. That's what he's saying here. For course changers, putting off, putting away, fleeing the flesh, you know what's going to happen? Verse 9. The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. You will start to look like a different you. You know that. It isn't because you're going to one day say, okay, I'm going to be really, really good and really, really righteous. It doesn't work that way. It works by us abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you remain in me and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You must stay connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a natural outflow of a life connected to the Lord Jesus, the life source that changes our path, changes our course. Us connected to him allows the course change. It starts with you. It starts with us abiding in the vine. And folks, never believe the enemy that you've gone too long, too far. You've repeated this process over and over. There are people that are immersed in habitual sin. Things that keep nagging them. And don't allow the enemy to say, you've gone too far, just give in. Because that's what he tells you. Give in. It's never too late to change course. Never believe the lie of the enemy. It's never too late to change course. It's never too late to do what is right. Now look, at this is talking to the Christian dabbling in the world, or the message could be to a lost person. It's never too late to change course, lost person. And it's never too late, Christian that has dabbled in the world, to change course and really live for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's never too late. It goes for both parties. And as long as you have breath, folks, there is hope. And you can, and you need only to live in the power of the Holy Spirit and live as an overcomer and change course. Change course. Now listen, Christians dabbling in the flesh world can change course, and so can those who are not born again of the Spirit, as God prompts a change. You know, you can't come out of the kingdom of darkness unless God takes the blinders off your eyes. You just don't one day raise your hand and say, no, it's a process where God is working on you, drawing you, pulling you, convicting you, and one day you go yes to the Lord Jesus, the best day of your life. You talk about a great day, that's a great day. Just cry to everybody. Change your course, folks. Change your destiny. That's what he's saying. Verse 10. Course changers live out, do what is acceptable to the Lord. Let's look at this. Verse 10. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Oh, finding out. What is that implying? That means I have to look, doesn't it? That means I have to search. That might even mean I have to dig. Digging where? Digging into the Quran? Digging into Hindu teaching? No, I'm digging into the Word of God. That's what I'm digging into. That's what I'm digging into. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Where do I find out what's acceptable to the Lord? Well, it's the Word of God. And we are to live according to His Word. And if you live according to His Word, I will guarantee you that it will impact how you live. It'll impact where you go. It'll impact who you hang with, who your friends are. It'll impact how you speak. It'll impact what you watch. It'll impact, you can just fill in the blanks, okay? It'll impact your life. It'll impact your life. Living according to the Word of God affects everything. What I do through the prism of what would be pleasing to my Savior. That's what I do. That's how I live. What He would like me to do, what He has taught me. How can I apply this Word to my life? That's what I want to know. I'm reading this. I'm just not reading a story. I'm reading this to say, how does this apply to me? How can I work this out in my life? That's what we want to try to get through. Verse 11 through 13, there's a warning here. That, again, danger, that everybody has come from a darkness. Everyone has a past. Every one of us has something that has drug us. And what I've written down here as a title of this section is avoid, flee from the stuff that festers in the darkness. Don't participate. Don't join in. Don't have stinking thinking. Don't go back to old habits. Flee. Flee from it. Flee from the stuff. Verse 11 through 13. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. That doesn't sound like it's much of a compromise, does it? No, it doesn't. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Flee from the stuff that festers. Expose or reprove is another word, the darkness. You know what that tells me? Take a stand for right. You have plenty of opportunities in this country to take a stand for right. We don't have to blend with everybody that's around us. As a matter of fact, we should be counter world around us. We are light in this world. Light. Folks, take a stand and remember this. Right thinking will result in right conduct. Right thinking results in right conduct. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, for you who want to take a journey there, you can. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. And actually, this is the similitudes. He's talking about salt and light. In verse 13, he says, you're the salt of the earth. He's talking to us. He's talking to people that are following him. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, it sounds like that can happen to a Christian when they start to slumber, get slothful. How shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out, trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men. Does that sound like a suggestion? Is Jesus saying, I just think that you might want to think about this? No. This is a command. This is an imperative. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We are the light, salt and light. The light is powerful. The light displaces the darkness. I don't care how dim you think your little light is. I'm telling you, when you go into a cave in Virginia, and they take you on that little foray in the cave, and then they say, okay, let's turn out our lights. I mean, you know what you're scrambling for? Your watch light. Any type of light that's going to just give you just a little, your little dim light can displace an enormous amount of darkness. Don't think you're not valuable. Everyone born again of the Spirit has the light of the Lord Jesus residing in them and can and is called to displace the darkness. If you keep your light personal, if you keep your light hidden, as it says here, if you do what the politicians do and say, my religion is personal, I don't share it with anybody. That is not anywhere, not even close to anything in the Word of God that says that. We are to share this message with everyone we come in contact with as the Spirit creates opportunities. Not as we create opportunities, as the Spirit creates opportunities. We've learned this in the past. So, the light displaces the darkness. Think about this. Question for you, for every believer. Does your light, are you realizing this? Is your light actually displacing darkness? Only you can introspect and answer that question for yourself. Do people that you come in contact know, have any idea that you are of the light? It's a legitimate question for Christian people. Do you stand for anything righteous? Folks, it's not optional. Your life must reflect the light of Christ in every aspect. It isn't just come here. Oh, I have a light. Watch my light shine. Woo, I'm right here. I'm sitting. Look at my light. I'm a light. This is training. This is training to go out into the darkness. This is school to get ready to go out into the darkness and out into the world and be productive and minister, something we're all called to do. We are to affect our culture, to affect the workplace, to affect our home, to affect our friends. Let them all know that you are of the light. Now listen, for all who have changed course, you who are really in the kingdom of light, you who are ambassadors of the King, and that's who we are, we're ambassadors, representatives of the King. We are to represent Jesus wherever we go. We who meet this qualification must expose the darkness. In other words, when I'm in the workplace, people should recognize me as being different. Now granted, they might think you're weird, and that's okay. Oh, he's strange. He's a strange dude. Never likes to do anything with us. No, I don't want to go to those places. Now how do I reprove the darkness? How does this actually happen? Let me give you some suggestions. First of all, call sin, sin, not an illness. Know what I'm saying? Call sin, sin, not an illness. I don't have the illness of stealing everything I come in contact with. I didn't get the stealing gene, okay? Or alcoholism is a good thing, or drugs. Oftentimes in psychology, they call this an illness. And I would grant that people have different proclivities for different things, and different attractions, and different weaknesses. But folks, it's sin. It's not an illness. It's sin. We put ourselves in that position. We put ourselves there. It's a sin. Call sin, sin. Make no excuses. Secondly, call evil, evil. Pretty close, isn't it? But it's not a life choice. It's not a life choice. It's not a life choice who marries whom. It's God's choice. He establishes that. A man and a woman to be united together for life. He does that. It's not a life choice to say, I can just give up this baby. Folks, that's not a life choice. Call evil, evil. You're exposing the darkness. Call sleazy behavior, corrupt speech, and by the way, biting sarcasm would fall into this. And so often Christians can have biting sarcasm. It can be us. Call it what it is. It's from the darkness. It's not funny. It's not cute. It's wrong. Call it what it is. Man thinks the darkness will hide his actions, don't they? Look at the crimes. People do things in the dark. When you're acting out in your sin, I would venture most of the time you think no one's there to see you. Either I'm hiding in the daylight where nobody sees me, or more often I'm in the darkness where nobody sees me. Listen, sneaking on the computer, exposed by the light of God. Sneaking on your phone, exposed. Rendezvous, exposed. Expose darkness and any kind that you try to sneak or and slither around in, because that's what we do as people. We think nobody sees us. Hide my eyes, nobody sees us. You know what? The spotlight of God is just, particularly if you are his child. If you are his child and you're walking in the darkness, guess what? Nothing is hidden from God's sight. All things are uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of whom we must give an account. That's Hebrews 4:13. That's pretty convicting. Anytime I think I'm getting away with something, the spotlight of God is right on me. And we get away with nothing. Exposed. Exposed. You expose, you are to reprove the darkness. Even when the culture calls darkness good, and it will, and it does. You realize that, don't you? It will, and it does. Isaiah 5:20 says this, woe to those who call evil good, and good evil, who put darkness for light, light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet, sweet for bitter. Folks, for a culture that has gone mad, woe to them who call evil good and good evil. It does not matter what this country believes is legal. It doesn't matter what the culture says is good. If it is counter to God's word, we are to expose it. What has happened to the church? The church's light has become so dim and so compromised that the world has come in and affected the church. And so now the church has embraced things of the world. As far as marriage and life and that, the whole thing, the church has been affected. The world has come in and polluted the church. We are to expose the darkness. Folks, if it's counter to God, expose it. If it's counter to God, don't accept it. If it's counter to God, don't buy into it. Don't do it. Now, caution. Because when you do a teaching like this, you might think that you have to be the moral police. You're doing this! Oh, no, that's not what I'm talking about. Let's give some clarity here. Again, one man wrote this. Actually, it's Chuck Swindoll wrote this. He says, now let's be very clear about what it means when you say exposing the darkness. What it means and what it doesn't mean. Paul didn't intend that we parade other people's sins before a self-appointed moral court. Light doesn't attack. Do you hear that? Light doesn't attack. Light exposes the darkness, doesn't attack the darkness. It's not my responsibility with jugular veins sticking out, attacking, you better get right or get left. You know, that's not going to win anybody over. No. But light exposes the darkness. Doesn't attack. It simply reveals what's there by way of contrast. For example, he gives an example. Imagine an office in which all the employees regularly pad their expense accounts and cheat the company. Think that happens? You bet it happens. When one worker breaks the pattern and starts behaving honestly, then the dishonesty is exposed. Deeds of light expose deeds of darkness, making it possible to evaluate sinful actions against what is right so others can repent. Folks, our light is to expose, not hammer people. Okay? Big difference. We expose the darkness. And finally, verse 14. For those Christians who are asleep, who are slumbering, immersed in a culture that think they're okay, for those Christians who are asleep and slumbering and don't know it, the cry here is to awake, change course. Awake, change course. Verse 14, and we'll be through. Awake, you who sleep. Slumbering, slothful us. Arise from the dead. That's speaking of lost people. And Christ will give you light, salvation. Folks, Satan's goal for sure in the church is to keep us slumbering. Keep us asleep. Keep our light right here in these seats. Don't you dare take your light into the world where there might be some conflict. His goal is for your light to just shine like a big old advertisement, a big old beam in the sky when you're going by a used car lot. Says, we're here. Let it shine right here, but don't dare take it out into the world. That's what he wants. Keep your light right here, safe, asleep. Keep asleep. Slumbering, slothful. You know what he tells us? Awake. That's his word to us. Awake. For those in the darkness that are pictured as dead in their trespasses and sins. And that is what everybody that is not born again of the Spirit. That's why it's called born again. It's a new birth. You're dead. You're dead in your sins. And you're headed for a destiny of hell. Just that simple. Question for you is, who removes the darkness? Isn't you. It's not me. It's Christ. He removes the darkness. And he makes you alive. Alive. Think about this. Awake, arise, and then alive. Three A's. Now thinking of waking up, thinking of changing course, danger ahead, thinking about not slumbering, slothful Christians, I want to read you something that was written about Winston Churchill. And then we'll close. Winston Churchill had planned his funeral, which took place in St. Paul's Cathedral. He included many of the great hymns of the church and used the elegant Anglican liturgy. At his direction, a bugler intoned the sound of taps and the universal signal that the day is over. But then came a dramatic turn as Churchill instructed after taps at his funeral, he wanted these two things played. After taps was finished, another bugler played the notes of Reveille. God's cry to the church is it's time to get up. It's time to awake from our slumber, to wake up, change course. Folks, there's danger ahead. We cannot be apathetic, particularly at this time in history. When the church is being attacked, when the Lord Jesus Christ is being diminished, when we've taken the Lord Jesus out of our culture and we set him off into a corner and said, stay over there. I don't want you in government. I don't want you in schools. I don't want you teaching our kids. Stay over there, Jesus. No. No, we say no to that. We want Jesus to be in the center of everything that we do. Everything that we do. John 1:9 says this. The reason that you can approach the world with your light is because the true light that gives light to every man came into the world. That's John 1:9. The true light that gave light to every man came into the world. Therefore, you with your light can talk to them because they have been exposed. They can hear this message. Everyone is savable. I don't care if you've got a 90-year-old person that you're praying for, they can still be savable. I don't care if it's some person that you have written off. Those are people that God is an expert at bringing into his family. Expert at bringing into his family. John 9:4 tells us, I mentioned this many times, that the darkness is coming. We are to work while it is light because the darkness is coming, a time when no man can work. Wake up, church. Wake up, church. This is our time. This is the time that God has given us, 70 or so years. This is our timeline. Bzz, boom. There will be an end to each timeline here. I don't know when yours is or when mine is. This is our opportunity to serve our King. This is our time. And once that's done, boom, darkness, death, I go to heaven and enjoy that. Or if my destiny is not heaven, I will go to hell. There's two destinations for humans. It isn't into the ground, turn to dust, and it's done. That is not what happens. If you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. You will not. That's the word of God. Now, in closing, let me say this. It's never too late to change course with God. Wake up, church. It's never too late for those that are in families, in homes, with wives, husbands, children. Folks, it's never too late to wake up. It's never too late to change course with your friends, the choices of your friends. It's never too late to change how you respond at work. It's never too late to change course with your attitude. How do you like that one? Attitude. And it's never too late to awaken slumbering Christian. Please wake up. You can make a faith choice to wake up because the Spirit of God lives in you. You can be different. We can start this new year different. And make it. I don't believe in New Year's resolutions. I believe in life resolutions. I'm changing my life. I'm obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm doing things His way. And I can tell you what, your life might not be cream puffs and cherry pie, but your life will be more fulfilled than you can ever believe. You're going to have contact with the God of heaven, the power source above all power sources, to allow you to live above the oppression that you have been living in. You don't have to bathe yourself in all the other stuff that people do. Some people like to gather things, get more stuff. Some people bathe their misery in drugs and alcohol. Some people bathe it in food. I used to bathe it in cupcakes. Just give me another cupcake. Fill my need. We all have something that we bathe in. No, let the Lord Jesus Christ change your course. And finally, God's cry to a slumbering church, His cry to you and me, wake up, change course. There's danger ahead. Selah. Let's pray. Our Father, we are grateful today for your word. Holy Spirit, I ask that you'll take this talk and what didn't apply to one might apply to another. But you make it applicable to each person in here because you know each one of our hearts. You know if we're in your family or not. You know if someone needs to come into your family to receive the gift of eternal life. And I pray that today, that if someone is not born again in the Spirit, that they'll realize their need for a Savior, repent of their sins. Say, I receive your blood sacrifice in my place, Lord Jesus. I receive your death. I believe you are the Savior. And I desire to come into your family. Save me, Lord Jesus. Save me, Lord Jesus. That can happen right now. Right now. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Cleansed. For we who have been compromised, we who have been asleep and slumbering, you've taught us that we can change our direction. Lord, help us to be different. We have such a short time. This whole thing is ending for each one of us. Doesn't matter where we are on the timeline, it will end. And only what we do now for you is going to matter. Please impress that indelibly upon our hearts. And may we live differently because the Spirit of God has given us life and has given us the ability to live above the mess of the culture that we're living in, the mess that I've been attracted to. Change us, O Lord. Change our hearts. Change our direction. Make us different. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Do your work amongst us now. In Jesus' name, amen.